Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for coming out to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And a special thank you to Cliff. I think you'll notice the mic is working better. So he worked on it and hopefully we're getting it under control. This time if you take your red pad and sign it with your name and address. There's also I Wish cards for first time visitors, and when that comes around you can drop it in the offering plate and that'll make sure that I will get it and have a record of your attendance. A few announcements. I'm not going to read all these in full detail, but the nursery is open every Sunday in the Christian Education Building straight out through here, and there are handicapable restrooms right through here and a changing table in one of the restrooms in here. The library is open. There's a crying room or somebody has a coughing fit or whatever. You can go in here, and hopefully the speaker's plugged up. If not, it's right behind the television. You can plug it up. Okay, I'll try to check it, but I forget. Presbytery is this Thursday over in the South Hill, so if you can't find me Thursday, that's where I will be. I will be sending this out soon, but Janice Wakely has a new address. Session council will be meeting Tuesday, May the 7th at 7 p.m. You know, it seems like we just met, but we had delayed the other one. Bread of Life Pantry, you can read about what they are taking up. And Valley Garden Plot is just opening up, so hope that you can be a part of that. I have an announcement to read about it. Oh, no, that's another announcement. If you want to be a part of the Garden Valley Plot, I believe there's sign-up sheets, or you can call the office, and I think they can even send you something out, email. But you can get a plot for yourself and come down and work it and grow your own vegetables, and we try to take a part of those and give it to Calvert Food Bank in Edna, the Bread of Life Food Bank. The church directory is almost finished. We will be placing an order next week. We should receive our directories by early July. One directory will be provided at no cost. Each household is listed in the directory. This includes our church members and church friends. Additional directories may be purchased for $5 each, but must be pre-ordered. Please contact Mabe before Monday. Mabe, wave your hand over here in the red sweater. If you would like to pre-order additional directories or see your name is listed in the directory. Would anybody like to have their very own stink bug? Thank you. Was that a message that my announcements stink? Can somebody put that up here? I wouldn't put it past you. I wouldn't. Okay, I think that's all the announcements. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn for this morning, as we are celebrating a few days early, Ascension Sunday, I lost it for a second, which comes Thursday, 233, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus.
Thank you.
Will the worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin? Dear God, we praise you for having power over the grave. We are awed by the fact that you ascended into heaven in front of your disciples. Forgive us for not living our lives in light of these truths. Remind us that Jesus is our Savior, Master, and Lord. Give us the desire and courage to share the gospel with others. Help us build your church at Glenshell Valley in love, truth, and numbers. Remind us that we are to get our power to witness from your Holy Spirit. May worship you with a great joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us once again reaffirm our faith through our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third
Let's take a moment and greet one another. Go to the other side of church, meet someone you don't know.
Thank you.
Amen. Our responsive reading in your red hymnals is 641, Christ's Ascension, 641. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me." Therefore, when he had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth.
Now when he had said these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight.
And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel.
This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.
Call the elder on the door.
We have two prayer requests today. The first is for Diane Varchetto, who is the mother-in-law of Thomas Balbach. Ask for prayers for help with her pancreatic cancer. The second prayer request is for a friend of Shawnee Mueller, a lifelong friend. Heidi lost her fight with cancer and passed away this week. So please lift Heidi's family and friends up in prayer. Please keep these persons and families in your prayers.
Thank you. I don't know if he's been found yet, but came across emergency news last night. A little boy had been abducted. I don't remember his name, but he was found. Praise the Lord for that. Okay, thank you. I'll lead you in prayer, and instead of trespasses, on Presbyterian tradition, we'll say debts and debtors. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day thanking you for being the God that you are, so awesome and wonderful and loving us as your children. Loved us so much that Jesus Christ came into this world full of darkness and sin, became one of us, knew what it was like to feel pain and hurt, even anger, willing to go to the cross and pay the debt of our sins, a debt that we could not pay ourselves. Thank you for what he has done. What a love story. What a great gift to all humanity who will accept. So as the Church of Christ here at Glenshaw Valley this day, we lift our prayers before you. Those that are in our bulletin that we continue to pray for, those that are in our Valley newsletter, those that were brought before and presented this morning. And many people have prayer requests that they're holding quietly, praying for maybe themselves or a family member or a friend who's maybe in financial trouble or spiritual trouble or marriage is falling apart or just don't know where to turn. Remind them always to come to you, to look to you, the author and finisher of their faith, the one that can always bring help. Touch their lives this day, Lord. Touch all of us. Heal us. Help us with our sinful nature. Lord, thank you. And thank you for giving us this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. The hymn of preparation. I don't think we've sang in a while. It's a beautiful song, How Great is Our God, a screen song. That's okay.
Oh.
Let's bow in a word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the church here at Glenshaw Valley. And we ask for your help in doing the things that you have called us to do, to help those who are in need, to reach out from these walls, to go out into the neighborhoods and call people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that has been sent to us to empower us, to help us have the courage and the gifts, the abilities to do all that we do. Thank you for every gift that is used, not for our own personal selfishness or self-aggrandizement, but for your glory, Lord. Bless these people this day as they go about your work, giving of themselves. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend, we do pray. Amen.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. Our scripture lesson comes from Luke 24. It's the last chapter of Luke. It begins with the women going to the gravesite of our Jesus Christ and finding the tomb empty. And it talks further on how he has appeared before the rest of the disciples and the apostles. And it finally ends with this section that we're going to read now. But the thing that I was most interested in when I was studying for this was it was all done with great joy. The great joy replaced the sorrow and the fear that the disciples and the apostles had when Christ was crucified. So please listen to your own personal message as I read Luke 24, 44 through 53. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. I forgot to do this. I worked so hard loading this, I'm at least going to show it to you. Friday's supposed to be my day off, so I took it this week and I worked in the yard all day Friday. Well, not all day, but I worked for several hours, and Saturday I worked for several hours. I'm not used to that. I'm discombobulated, but you know it doesn't take much for me. So there was the scripture. It was there. I want to begin this morning with a love story. It's a wonderful story. Even more enchanting is the fact that it really happened. It's not a made-up love story. The story begins with real-life prints from an independent collection of states in northern eastern Burma. In the 1950s, Singh came to Denver, Colorado to study agriculture. And since he wanted to experience what it was like to be a student in the U.S., he kept his identity secret. Not even his professors knew who he really was. One of the fellow students was Inge Sargent. Inge was from Austria, and since both of them were exchange students, Inge and Prince quite quickly found that they had a lot in common. They started to spend more and more time together, and their friendship eventually grew into love. Now here's where it begins to sound like a fairy tale, but I assure you, it is not. It is really true. The prince decided that he would not tell Inge who he really was, even though their relationship was beginning to get serious. He didn't want her to love him because of his title. He wanted her to love him because of who he was, just as a person. Even when they became engaged, he decided not to disclose his secret. Even on their wedding day in the U.S., he still did not reveal his identity. However, on their honeymoon, they took a ship to Burma to see his family. And as the ship docked in his native land, hundreds of people were waiting at the harbor, many with welcome signs and flowers, and a band was playing, and they were tossing those flowers at the ship and into the water. And surprised by all the excitement, Inge turned to her husband and asked, "Who are all these people celebrating? What is all this about?" And the prince turned to his bride and said, "Inge, these people are celebrating our arrival. You are now a princess." Suddenly, Inge saw her husband in a whole new way, a whole new perspective, a whole new light. And her life was changed forever. In today's lesson from the Gospel of Luke, the disciples of Jesus experienced the crowning touch of his roller coaster journey of discovery about who Jesus really was. He had been their teacher and their friend. They had seen him do marvelous things, feed the 5,000, heal the lepers, even raise the dead. But they also witnessed the crowds turn against him and yell for him to be crucified, and then he was crucified. But then on the third day, he arose from the dead, and he made an appearance to over many disciples over a 40-day period. 40 days. And now he was saying goodbye to his disciples. Who was this man who had walked among them? No ordinary man, that's for sure. Foretold by the prophets, risen from the grave, ascended into heaven. Surely he is who he says he was, the Son of God, Most High God. This Thursday is Ascension Day, and it tells us, I think, several things. It tells us who Jesus is. It tells us what we are to do. And it tells us where the power comes from for us to live as Christ would have us to live. He did not leave us powerless. So who is Jesus? We say it each Sunday in our Apostles' Creed. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried in the grave for 3 days. Then he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of power with the Father Almighty. And he's going to come to judge the quick, which means the living and the dead. This is what we believe. Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, is our Savior. He is our Master. He is our Lord. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no one above him. In his presence one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Philippians 2:10 tells us that. And all this was confirmed in the events of the Ascension. No wonder the disciples were filled with joy and worshiped him and stayed continually at the temple praising God. They knew without any more doubts that they had been in the presence of the Son of God, risen from the dead, now ascended into heaven before their very eyes. Henry Sloane Coffin once told about three young Englishmen who in April 1848 found themselves in Paris in the midst of a revolution which overthrew King Louis Philippe. One of them kept a diary of their trip, and there's one entry describing the sack of a palace by a mob. Everything was being smashed when suddenly the mob reached the chapel, broke the doors, and found themselves confronting a huge painting of Christ behind the altar there. Someone called out, "Hats off!" Heads were bared. Most of the crowd knelt down, and the picture of Christ was carried out to a neighboring church. Said the most uttering silence that you might have ever heard, that you could hear a fly buzz. As disciples stood there on the day of Christ's ascension into heaven, I imagine you could have heard a pin drop of fly coming by, so quiet, standing there in awe, watching him ascend into heaven, like some kind of rocket man without all the contraptions. The ascension of Christ settles forever the question of who is Jesus Christ? Was he who he says he was? Now let's deal with what are we supposed to do if he really is the Christ? If he really is the Anointed One? If he really is the Son of God? Not just another prophet that has come. Not just another good man telling good stories and trying to get people to do good things. In his last moments with his disciples before he ascended, he gave his disciples their marching orders, if you will. This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. His last instruction to them was that they were to be witnesses, not to go home and be silent and keep this some kind of secret and hold it in just for them, but to tell everyone that they came in contact with. And that is our responsibility. We have been charged as the church and as Christians to tell the next generation of who Jesus Christ is, so that message does not get lost. And I also think we need to say that it does not get watered down. The disciples of Jesus were to witness to something unbelievably wonderful and dynamic. And one person had died for all peoples. God's Son had walked among us. God's Son had died for us. God's Son had rose for us. And God's Son had ascended into heaven for us. And Christians have been telling this story for 2,000 years. And now it is our turn. Each and every one of us, it is our turn to tell this old, old story. And we have to ask ourselves, will I do my part? Will I tell the story? Many of us are reluctant even to ask someone to church. Many of us are reluctant to even let other people know that we are a Christian. We really don't want them to know. We don't have to want to deal with that because we want to fit in with whatever happens to be going on at the time. Donald Gray Barnhouse tells about a sad incident that happened in 1936 Olympics. In the women's 400-meter relay race, the Germans were far ahead in the race, and the third runner had the baton and passed it to the last runner. With a clear 5-yard lead, race easily to be won, the last runner dropped the baton. Photos show the despair on the face of that last runner. Can you imagine? Shortly after the games, Barnhouse was looking at an illustrated magazine with pictures of the Olympics. And the magazine happened to have text under the pictures of the three languages, and English said, "They muffed the baton." Now, for all you who know French, and to my French teacher in high school, I apologize. The French said they dropped les témoins. Témoin is an ordinary French word which means witness. The idea was that the runner who reached the tape to have the baton, it was the witness that the race had been run and had been finished. That the full distance had been covered by each of the runners because the baton had been passed down, had been passed off from one runner to the other runner. The jury, I think, is still out on our generation whether the baton has been dropped, whether we are willing to do the witnessing, the sharing of the gospel the way that we should, or are we dropping the baton of witnessing? And most of our churches' congregations are getting older and grayer. The mainline churches, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Lutherans, Churches of Christ, many of them are going down. It's just the reality. Do people care? We see on the day of Ascension who Jesus really is, and we see what we are to be to do as witnesses, to raise our families to be followers of Jesus Christ, to invite our friends to follow Jesus, to live our lives in such a way that people would desire to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. One more thing. Where the power comes from for living as followers of Jesus Christ. It's one thing to ask you to do something and then not give you the tools. Ask you to build a house and not give you any measuring sticks, any hammers or nails or power tools, saws, whatever. How can you do it? No plans? What do you do? Jesus says in our lesson, "You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Where does our power come from? And you even realize that you have been empowered. Our power comes from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the gift that God promised to us. And you have it if you are a Christian. But you have to learn to tap into it. 2 weeks when we celebrate Pentecost, we will talk more about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And among the Holy Spirit gives us is that power, the power to endure, the power to make a difference. The Holy Spirit also gives us guidance, for it doesn't make much difference how much power you have if you're going in the wrong direction. We've seen men with great power like Hitler take a nation and almost the world in a completely wrong, horrible direction. We see dictators all the time with power taking their countries to destruction. The wrong direction. The Associated Press ran a story sometimes back about a virus that had infected a group of Canadian geese. The virus destroyed their navigation system. These geese flew in circles, became disoriented, and got lost. Can you believe that? Canadian geese getting lost. No, they weren't all male geese. It was devastating for the flock. Thousands of geese died. What an incredible consequence because of a loss of ability to navigate. Many people today are clueless about their lives and directions that they should go, just as these geese who lost their navigation system. And we are missing out on a great resource of our lives if we do not pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit to empower us and to lead us and to guide us. And I'm convinced that the reason Christians are not having the impact that God has called us to have upon our families and our communities and our world is because we do not seek the guidance and the power that the Holy Spirit has there for us. So this is what we need to take away from the celebration of Ascension. We know who Christ is. He is like a prince that comes to woo his beloved without revealing his identity, and we find out that we are his beloved. He has called us to pass on the baton that we have received from the generations before us and to start passing that baton on to the new generation that is coming up, to tell the story of Jesus and his sacrifice and his love and the promise of salvation and eternal life. And he has promised us his Spirit to guide us, to empower us, to comfort us when we are hurting and when we have fallen and when we feel like that we cannot go on anymore in life or in our church life. No wonder on that first day of Ascension, Luke ends the story like this. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. I like that. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. The last thing he did was bless them. And while he's blessing them, he's taken up. All in the same time. And then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And that's where the church should stay, in joy, in joy, in joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Continually praising God in joy. Let us praise God as well. May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, very appropriate, 308, go. Thank you. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary, I hope that you feel a sense of peace. I hope that you feel tremendous joy and love in your heart. And I hope that you'll go thinking about the Holy Spirit being a part of your life and Jesus ascending into heaven. What a magnificent, wonderful day that was for the disciples. But not just for them, but for us today, 2,000 years later, it still has the same meaning for us today. And then go into the world. Tell someone that Jesus loves them and they can have salvation and the promise of eternal life. Go in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.